Today's message is titled, Mary Has Chosen the Better Part. Acts chapter 2, 17 and 18. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. This passage was preached in the early days of the church by the Apostle Peter. And right there, we see God having a vision for men and women to be a part of his community. Jesus ministered to both men and women while he was on earth. His mission was and still is to reconcile both men and women to God and to one another. Throughout the course of Jesus' life, he instructed women. Women were with him in his daily travels. And we see women also served in important roles in the first century church. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood behind them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the man said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. Women, as my wife shared earlier, were the very first to hear the message of Jesus' resurrection. It's just super encouraging, even when you look through the writings of the Apostle Paul. Paul was careful to name several women in his writings. And so God loves both men and women, and God has used both men and women to build up his church. I say to God be the glory, amen? Today we're going to take a look at an interaction that Jesus had with two women, Mary and Martha. And the text I'm going to read is in Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. I'm reading a different translation. Today, the translation is called the New Revised Standard Version. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but few things are needed, indeed only one. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. And it's from that verse, Mary has chosen the better part, that we get our sermon today. And so we're going to be talking about this interaction that Jesus had and what we all as human beings can learn from it. I know we have some men in the audience. Don't think that there is nothing here that applies to you. Okay, men? Can I get an amen from the men? Amen. Amen. We're talking about the fallen human nature. So Martha was distracted by her many tasks. I wonder what her kitchen looked like when she had all those people over to the house. The good thing about Martha is that she was the one who invited Jesus in. She said, come on in. Right? She initiated that. And the Bible says that it was her house. I don't know if Mary was paying rent, you know, but it was her house. So she invites Jesus in, which is a good thing, to invite Jesus into your home. And then obviously there's a lot more people that come on in, right? And it says that Mary was distracted by her many tasks. That word distracted is from the Greek word perispao. And that's the It's a compound word, peri meaning around and spao meaning to draw or pull. It implies that someone is being overly concerned with various tasks, leading to a focus on off of what is true, a lack of focus, pardon me, on what is truly important. She was being pulled away. She was being distracted. In the midst of all of her preparations, she actually rebukes Jesus. She says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself. Tell her then to help me. That is a thinly veiled rebuke. Can't you see what is going on here? And I love how she presents her statement. Do you not care? I could see her with her hand on her hip, eyebrows raised, maybe a little rolling of the eyes. Don't you see what's going on here? You can also see a little control. You know, Martha had a little control freak in her, you know. Tell her. Aren't you the Lord? You know, Jesus refuses to go along with what Martha wanted. And he says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things, but few things are needed. He saw that Martha had a lot more issues going on in her heart. That her fussing about the dishes and the preparations was just a symptom of a deeper problem. And the deeper problem, Jesus said, is that you are worried and upset about many things. What Jesus is saying here is that Martha was concerned about more than just the preparations. There were other things brewing in her heart. There were other concerns that she had. And the question is Martha concerned only about the preparations? Is it just really about that? Or are there other things that are going on in Martha's heart? Now, unfortunately, Martha is not here for us to interview her. So I'm going to speculate. And I think one of the things that Martha is worried about is, what will people think about me? How many of you, in having people into your home, have thought that? Raise your hand. What will people think about me? That's probably the number one reason why people don't want anybody to their home. What are people going to think about me? About my preparation or lack of preparation? Is the house fully dusted? I don't want to see any dishes. What will people think if they see dirty dishes? What will people think about me? And you know, this was not the day of social media. You know, people now come taking pictures. That's a stumbling block right there, man. You want somebody coming with their camera, HD camera, taking pictures of your home? Uh-uh. So what we do is we close up. Ain't nobody coming in here until this is like what's the name? Architectural Digest ready. I think Martha is very concerned about making a good impression on other people. She's so concerned about that that she misses the fact. Think about this. She misses the fact that she has the creator of the universe in her living room. To me, this is stunning. It is such a powerful pull that she's telling her creator, my sister don't need to be listening to you. She needs to be coming in here helping me with the dishes. Now, I appreciate how Jesus responded. You know, Jesus does not rebuke Martha. He didn't rebuke her. He rather commends Mary. He says Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. And I want to make it clear that it is not a sin to be distracted. It's really, I mean, we live in a world of so many distractions. It's not a sin to be distracted. But being distracted can cause some problems, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. But Jesus elevates Mary because of the choices she made. Mary chose to sit at his feet and listen. Mary valued being in Jesus' presence and chose to fix her attention on him, which is what the Hebrew writer says to all Christians in Hebrews 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. Mary said, I will not allow myself to be distracted by these dishes when such an incredible opportunity is right here in my living room. Mary made the better choice. And I think we ought to commend Mary and lift her up because she lived in a culture that demanded women take on certain roles. And she might have been maybe the only woman or maybe only a handful of women at Jesus' feet. It took great courage for her to refuse to be confined to the role imposed on her by society and to choose to pay attention to Jesus' words. You know, sometimes the choice we must make is not between good and bad, but between good and better. Certainly, there's a lot of evil in the world, and God does not want any of us to make a choice to do evil. But sometimes evil is very clear. You know what? I'm not watching that because that's going to make me struggle with lust. You know, I'm getting out of that conversation because I feel the back of my neck really burning up now. And I'm going to say something that I'm going to regret. I'm going to walk away from that conversation. You know, sometimes when evil is pressing against your soul, you know it's there. But a lot of times it's not a choice between good and bad, but between doing what is better. Right? So was it a sin for Martha to be washing her dishes and cleaning up the house? No. But it was better for her had she chosen to ignore those dishes and come and sit at the feet of Jesus. I think as Christians, we're all faced with choices between choosing what is good and choosing what is better. And I want to talk about some examples that many of us are faced with. Some choices that we have to make. Number one, do I come to church today or do I watch on Zoom? That's a choice. That's a personal choice. You are free to choose. We don't have any New York City Church of Christ police force that's going to come knocking on your door asking you. You know what? Sometimes it really is good to watch on Zoom. Sometimes there are unique situations that cause us to be in a position where, you know what, I need to watch on Zoom. It may be a health challenge. or just there may be situations where, you know what, I need to watch on Zoom. But I can tell you, it is far better if you are able to be with the body of Christ in person. And when you stop to think about it, you have to ask, what would Jesus do if he had a sound mind and body? Would Jesus say, you know what, I think I'm going to check the Zoom option today? I don't think so. I think Jesus loved being with his people and always wanted to see and touch the people who were following him. The question is, are there other issues going on in your heart that you are not addressing? And I want to give a shout out to the Zoomers who are there. I think sometimes we have about 50 devices. Are they upset with me now, Donald? No? They're not saying anything? I'm talking to you, Zoomers. I want to speak directly to you. And here's my question. Are any of you going to work tomorrow? I can't say because I don't know who's on Zoom. But is there a reason why you can go to work tomorrow but can't come to church today? I mean, what is it? What's going on in our heart? There's good, and it's good. If you need to be on Zoom, hey, it's better than nothing, right? But then there's better. The choice is yours. Question number two. Will I be mentally engaged with the preached word, or will I allow other matters to clutter my mind? For those of you who are here, I commend you for being here. But you can be here in the body, but far away in the mind. And some of us have mastered the art of being here in the body, but being a far, far away in the mind. You know exactly how to sit and to keep your head in the same position. And have absolutely no response to anything that's going on. And some of you have even done a great job at being able to keep your eyes open while you are sleeping. Right? We used to sing a song when I was a young Christian. I woke up this morning with my mind, and it says, "Where was your mind? Centered on Jesus." We have to engage our minds when we come here. Peter said, "You have the words of eternal life." How did Peter come to that conclusion that the words of Jesus are the words that will lead to eternal life? Do you think he was sleeping when Jesus was teaching? He was mentally engaged. What we're talking about on a Sunday is eternal life. That's what we're talking about. You are making an investment today in your eternal future. We're learning about spiritual truths. We're learning to appreciate how to grab hold of the hope that is presented to us in the gospel. It's good to be here in the flesh, but it is even better to be engaged and dialed in. That is a choice you must make. Finally, will I read my Bible today or rely on my Bible app? The Bible app is good. It's not a sin to use your local Bible app. And if that's the best you can do today, amen. Today's verse is, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That is today's verse. It took me less than 30 seconds to read that. Bible app, if that's all I got, 30 seconds, that's not bad. You scroll down on that Bible app, there's two videos. Becoming righteous, 5 minutes. And make space for what matters most, 6 minutes. So if all I do is I watch those two videos, 6 minutes and 5 minutes, 11 minutes, and then I got my Bible app scripture, I can clock in and clock out in less than 15 minutes. Bang! It's my Bible app. Now, if you had a rough day, if your work was tough, if getting back home in NYC traffic and you just come home and you're exhausted, the kids were driving you crazy, and you're lying on your bed and you're like, I haven't read my Bible, let me get to the Bible app. Okay. It's okay. But I want to say that the Bible app is like a spiritual appetizer. Now, when you go to a restaurant, they say, do you want appetizers? And some of us will order appetizers. And, you know, it's like, just get your stomach rolling and everything. Okay. But you got to have your main meal. Right? You got to have your main meal. So a couple weeks ago, Robin and I celebrated our 30th anniversary. That was us 30 years ago. Isn't that cool? So imagine if I took Robin and I said, honey, man, we're celebrating our 30th anniversary. I want to treat you really special. I want to take you to this great restaurant, and you can only order the appetizer. What would you think about that? Tell me, what would you think? Just the appetizer. What? I'm not even going to get to Robin. I already know what Robin would think. What do you think? What would you think? Thumbs down. Two thumbs down. Anybody give me a thumb up? Nobody. Oh, you thumb up? Okay, Eugenia, amen. Okay, one thumb up. Everal, two thumbs down. Kadisha, thumbs down. Jackie, two thumbs up? Just the appetizer? Okay, amen. See, Jackie, you probably have meal cooked at home. Right. Hey, if things are tight, right? If things are tight, that's the best we could do. But what are we talking about? This is our 30th year anniversary. There's good, but then the better thing would be to get the meal. The Bible is your meal. I think a Christian should work their way to reading the Bible at least 30 minutes to 1 hour a day. Let me ask you this. How much time you spend on Netflix? So when I say 30 minutes to an hour, oh my gosh. But if I said, let's go watch Squid Game, woo, Any Squid Gamers out there? Man, I binge watched Squid Game with my daughter over the Christmas. I loved it. Why should we spend this much time reading our Bible? Because we are exposing our minds to the words of God. We may not understand everything, but the word flushes out sin. The word heals what is broken inside of us. The word revives our heart. The word inspires and motivates us to do the right thing. And the word enlightens us. Hebrews 5:13, anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. There may be days when all you can eat is an appetizer, but that can't be your norm. That can't be what you're choosing every single day. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light to my path. And so is there something lying at the root in your heart that you're not addressing? Why you can't find time to read God's word? What's going on in you, in your heart? What is pulling you away from the Word of God? You know, this whole issue of choice is not something new. Joshua 24:15. Joshua, at the end of his life, he shares this with the people in Israel. He says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And so it's important to remember that God wants us to live in community with each other. We are all individuals in spiritual community with each other. But each person within that community, within the covenant community of believers, must choose for themselves. I can't choose for you. You must choose for yourself to do what is better. And this is what Jesus commended Mary for. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. If Jesus commended Mary for making better choices, will he not commend us? We are all free moral agents. We have the freedom to choose, and I pray we can all learn from Mary's example to choose the better part. Amen.